blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 20. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 20. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling us at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. My theme for reflection is when God whispers in the night. When God whispers in the night. If God were to call your name tonight, would you answer or assume it was just noise? Many of us live with phones buzzing, thoughts racing, and schedules crowding our inner lives. So it is no surprise that when God speaks, we often misattribute the voice. The story of Samuel begins precisely there. In a time when the word of the Lord was rare and visions were few, silence had become normal and divine speech unfamiliar. The problem in Israel is not that God has stopped speaking, but that the community has stopped listening. The religious structure is intact. Priests temples, sacrifices, but moral and spiritual discernment has eroded. Eli's sons exploit their secret office, and leadership has grown complacent. The darkness at the opening of the chapter is more than literal night. It is spiritual disorientation. Into this dimness, God speaks not to the powerful, not to the corrupt clergy, but to a child sleeping near the ark. Samuel's repeated confusion reveals something deeply human. We often recognize God's call only in hindsight. He assumes the voice must belong to Eli, because God speaking directly seems implausible. Even Eli, seasoned priest though he is, discerns slowly. Yet when he does understand, Eli models something crucial: humility. He does not intercept the call or silence the message. Instead, he teaches Samuel how to listen. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God's purpose advances not through perfect leaders, but through teachable ones. What follows is unsettling. God's first word to Samuel is not comfort, but truth. Truth about judgment, accountability, and consequences. The call of God is not merely an invitation to belonging. It is a summons to responsibility. Samuel must speak a hard word to the man who raised him. Faithfulness here is not measured by ease, but by obedience. As the prophet Amos later insists, "Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets." Amos 3 verse 7. Revelation is a gift, but also a burden. This challenges a modern assumption that divine guidance should always feel affirming or pleasant. Interestingly, Epicurus, often caricatured as a prophet of pleasure, argued that true peace, ataraxia, comes not from indulgence, but from freedom from false fears and illusions. Strangely, Samuel's story agrees. Peace does not come from avoiding the hard truth, but from living aligned with reality. God's word, though heavy, frees Israel from denial and opens the way for renewal. Samuel grows, the text tells us, and the Lord was with him. Authority emerges not from lineage or ambition, but from attentive listening and costly truth-telling. God chooses the unexpected, echoing Hannah's song earlier in the book and anticipating the latter witness of Joel, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." God's voice cannot be contained by age, status, or office. For Christian people today, this story speaks into seasons when faith feels quiet, institutions falter, and moral clarity seems elusive. God still speaks, often quietly, often inconveniently, often through unlikely voices. The task of the church is not to control the call, but to cultivate spaces where listening is possible, discernment is shared, and courage is nurtured. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where might God already be speaking in my life, but I have mistaken the voice for something more familiar or less demanding? Number two, who has helped me learn how to listen for God, and whom might God be calling me to guide in the same way? And now our practical exercise for the day. Set aside 10 uninterrupted minutes in silence. Begin with a prayer. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Do not rush to interpret. Simply notice what surfaces: a concern, a conviction, a name, a nudge. write it down and hold it prayerfully throughout the day. Faithful and speaking God, when your word feels rare and our hearts grow dull, awaken us again. Teach us to listen beyond our assumptions, to receive your truth even when it unsettles us, and to speak faithfully with humility and courage. Call forth voices young and old, expected and overlooked, that your living word may once again be heard in our time. Through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all.